a change in military plans.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama said this morning he's abandoning plans for a large-scale missile defense system in Poland and the Czech Republic. He plans to deploy a smaller system aboard ships and in southern Europe or Turkey. Russia had objected to the Eastern European missile shield. It was intended to defend against long-range missile launches from rogue states like Iran and North Korea, but Obama said that threat does not appear imminent. Joining us live is Mike O'Hanlon, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
And you. So politics is a factor, military threat is a factor, but the U.S. is also in debt. How much do you think money is a factor?
Well, it's a consideration, although it's not the driver. I think clearly there are bigger fish to fry in this decision, everything from, as you mentioned, U.S. relations with Russia to U.S. relations with Western Europe, Poland and the Czech Republic, and obviously just protecting ourselves. But, you know, earlier this spring, Secretary Gates announced that he wanted to scale back the missile defense budget of the United States a bit. Now, it's still about $10 billion a year, which is larger than Ronald Reagan funded the so-called Star Wars shield back in the 80s, so it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you had to find ways to reduce the number of programs or scale each one of them back in order to accommodate that roughly 15% reduction in funding that Gates announced. And this is the kind of thing that allows you to accommodate that. So it wasn't the main reason, but it certainly is a nice fringe benefit.
And Mike, very briefly, if you would, how big a deal is this to America's defense contractors?
You know, I think it's only a modest deal. There may be an individual program manager, obviously, affected by this quite a bit. But generally speaking, we are building a lot of different kinds of interceptors still, a lot of different kinds of radars still, putting $10 billion a year into this suite of technologies still. And therefore, I don't believe that it's going to fundamentally threaten the industrial base. And again, missile defense remains amply funded by comparison with most previous periods in American history, including under Ronald Reagan and the first President Bush. So,
Mike, yes.
Pretty good.
Thank you very much, Mike O'Hanlon, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Now let's do the numbers. A little upward movement this morning. S&P 500, though, is flat, and so's the NASDAQ. It's the Dow that's up 10 points at 9,801. European markets closed up almost 1%, and Asian markets were up almost 2% today. The Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, the panel set up to investigate the causes of the financial crisis, gets down to business today. Marketplace's Amy Scott tells us more.
The panel is modeled after the 9/11 Commission, with a budget of $5 million and the power to subpoena witnesses and documents. It's charged with looking at everything from credit rating agencies to executive compensation.
The concern that I have is whether it will be able to do that job.
Patricia McCoy teaches law at the University of Connecticut. She says politics may get in the way.
It is stacked towards former politicians, people who were very high profile, but also have distinct causes of the crisis that they may want to deflect attention away from.
For example, McCoy says former lawmakers may not want to look too hard at Congress's role in the crisis. Others say the panel is skewed to the left. The group has four members selected by Republicans and six chosen by Democrats. The commission's findings are due next December. The Obama administration hopes Congress will already have passed new financial regulations by then. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. By Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
This week, we're looking at some of the biggest stakeholders in plans for a healthcare overhaul. Our series is called The Cure. Today, reporter Joel Rose looks at what hospitals have at stake.
It's a fairly quiet morning in the emergency room at Temple University Hospital in North Philadelphia.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about the patient coming to us.
Temple is what's known as a safety net hospital. Roughly 80% of its patients are covered by Medicaid or Medicare. Because safety net hospitals see so many low-income patients, they currently get extra funding from the government, money that could dry up if proposed Medicare and Medicaid cuts become reality under health care reform, says Temple Hospital CEO Sandy Gomberg.
What makes this debate the toughest that we faced in a really long time is that there is no easy consensus that's going to make this work. There will be winners and there will be losers.
Gomberg says safety net hospitals like hers stand to lose more than most. The White House plans to trim $155 billion in Medicare and Medicaid payments to hospitals. That's supposed to help cover the cost of insuring nearly all Americans. In theory, hospitals would win because more patients could pay their bills. But the most vulnerable hospitals could lose, says Andrew Wigglesworth, a hospital consultant with TRG Associates.
Operating margins are razor thin. If there were cuts without the corresponding increases in terms of access and coverage, it would create a disaster.
That's what worries Temple's Sandy Gomberg. Many of her patients are undocumented immigrants or the working poor. Gomberg says they may have trouble finding affordable insurance even if Congress does pass a health care bill, and her hospital will still need to treat them. So without some additional money, Gomberg says she'd have no choice but to cut services and staff.
The waiting line's going to get longer. It'll be longer for people to get to specialists. It's going to be longer for people to wait to get in to see the doctor in the ER.
If that happens, Gomberg says her patients will be the real losers. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And finally, if you're considering installing an automatic door for your business, be warned. The city of Puyallup, Washington, kicked off its state fair with its annual cattle drive. A couple of cattle, though, broke off the parade route, walked up to a convenience store. The door slid open. Horse-mounted cowboys herded the steers out of the mini-mart, but not before the cattle looked at the cash register and saw the beef jerky. They are undergoing counseling. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow's up 7 points. Have a good Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.